Camp Custer, Michigan. When I mustered in, or whatever you call it. And pretty soon they put us on a troop train. We went, it was a real old troop train. We went clear out to Fort Riley, Kansas. And that's where I had 16 weeks of basic training. I had 8 weeks of infantry training and 8 weeks of heavy weapons training. Heavy weapons in the Army is 30 caliber wet and dry machine guns, 88 millimeter mortars, and 75 millimeter recoilless rifles. That's what they consider heavy weapons. And the day that they were firing these great big long, they're about 5 or 6 feet long, 75 millimeter recoilless rifles, I made myself scarce. I didn't want to get close to those things. They made a terrible noise, and they told me if you're standing behind them, you can get killed. And I didn't want to be close to them. When I got to Korea, guess what they put me in? 75 millimeter recoilless rifle platoon. When I was first sent to sent away to leave the States, I first of all went to from Chicago to Camp Stoneman, California, which was near Oakland, and we flew on a big commercial airplane, you know, the old kind of motor-driven airplanes. We flew, first of all, to Hawaii, had supper at Hawaii in a real fancy restaurant. It was surprising that the Army would do that for us, but that's where we ate supper, Hawaii. Then we landed at Wake Island, and then finally Helena Air Force Base in Tokyo. And in Japan, I had 2 weeks of chemical, biological, and radiological warfare training. And it was pretty intense. It lasted from early morning till late at night, every day for 2 weeks. I didn't know what I was going to get into, but finally they shipped me to Korea. I landed at Busan. We went there by boat, I think. And I got on a little train. It was a troop train, a little narrow gauge train, and we got C rations on the train, and all of a sudden there's little Korean kids on both sides of the train. They know we got food and they're starving. And so, you know, it was the first time I ever ate C rations, and I can see why the kids were there. Some of that stuff wasn't fit to eat, so we threw it out, and the Korean kids scarfed it up real quick. And even if you ate something out of a can and threw the can out, the kids would grab these cans and clean them out because they were hungry. And that was kind of heart-wrenching to me, to see the kids like that. They would, if somebody was throwing stuff out one side, the kids would run underneath the train. And even when we got started moving a little bit, they'd still run under the train and you know, get over where the food was. And anyhow, I was heading for the north, the 38th parallel, on this troop train, Valentine's Day, 1952. Valentine's Day, the day of love and kisses and all that, up to fight the enemy. I was up there for maybe a couple of days. Then they sent me to the Watchon Reservoir area. And I guess there wasn't too much going on right at that time because we were there for over a month. And about all we did was get up and shine shoes and clean rifles and wait for something to happen. And at night we'd go to the movie. And pretty tough duty. But it wasn't long until they sent us up north. And my first taste of the front was an outpost. I was closer to the enemy than it was our own main line of resistance. I'm on this outpost. And I could almost look down their throats, the enemy. And the first night up there was Sue's birthday. And I'm laying out there on, I'm on this bare spot. And pretty soon I found out why it was bare. But I'm sitting there on this bare spot. I was supposed to be on guard duty, see? Which I was. And I was thinking, well, it's Sue's birthday and I'm so homesick. And all of a sudden, 60 millimeter mortars start coming in right where I'm at. And I didn't have time to roll over anything. I'm sitting there. I just went backwards like this to keep low. That was what we were told. Keep low and you got a good chance of not getting hurt unless one lands right on you. Well, they were landing all around me. And my heart was beating so hard, I was bouncing on the ground. I know how hard a heart can beat now. That's probably why I have a heart murmur. Anyhow, that was my first taste of getting shot at. And we were up there for about a month. And every day at noontime, Charlie would fire a couple of rounds down this trench we had to walk through to get our chow. And so, man, I used to run. When I went through that trench, I ran. And hoped, you know, nobody shot anything. I spent a few more months over in Korea. Part of the time, we would go back into reserve like for a couple of weeks. And then we go up on another part of the line. And the worst month I spent was October. It was bad because they were launching offensives, and that meant they were shooting a lot of junk at us, artillery and heavy mortars. And all of us guys started getting a little bit serious about the Lord. I know one day we had been able to go get some showers. And we were coming back to the high grass. I remember the grass was about 2.5 feet high. And we were almost to our position. And I don't know who sat down. Somebody sat down, and we just all started sitting down in that grass. It was kind of nice. And we start talking about God. And I probably let it off. I don't know. Because I just became a Christian. I became a Christian in July. I went in the Army in August. So I wasn't a good Christian, though, because I feel so bad. There was one boy said he was going to be a Baptist minister, and we used to pick on him something terrible. And I've always regretted that. But, you know, we start getting serious after things start getting serious. And one night we were getting really hit hard, and a round hit right in front of me, about 4 feet out. And I heard it at the last instant. It hit as I'm on the way down, and it just turned all of that to almost like gravel. It was full of stones, this dirt over there. It was hard digging. When you dug a trench, you had to have a pick, and you picked and shoveled. We had the trenches pretty deep because we'd been getting a lot of junk thrown at us. But this one here, when it hit, it just shattered the earth, and it buried me, but just not heavy, you know. And I got up through that stuff, you know, with it rolling off my back, and I'm just laughing like crazy. I don't know why. I'm just laughing like crazy. I guess, you know, your emotions. I guess I was laughing because I was still alive. I don't know. But at the same time, I wrote this down. I felt so close to God. I felt He was right there with me. Like, don't worry. Maybe that's why I laughed. I don't know. But it was a great feeling. I don't think I've felt that since. But God is awesome. And I think He got me out of there. Anyhow, that was kind of like my experiences in Korea. We went then from there. I spent a month guarding prisoners down at Kojido, an island where they had all these prisoners fenced in. And I didn't have much duty down there, except one day I had to be the sergeant in charge of a detail. I had to march 35 prisoners 5 miles down a road to a warehouse, and each prisoner had to carry a great big what would you call it, a bale of kimchi. That's what they ate. Leaves. You know, vegetable leaves, kind of like cabbage, I guess. Anyway, each one had to carry one of these big bales on their back. Well, here I am. I've got 4 South Koreans who are guarding these 35 North Korean prisoners. They have carbines with 30 rounds, you know, 30 round clip. So they can really put a lot of lead out. But here I am with an M1 rifle. I've got 8 rounds in my clip. And when I'm marching along, I'm way back, I'm standing back, and these four are real close. The prisoners are marching down one side of the road. These four are over where they can see everybody. And I'm looking at them, and they are all slant-eyed people, all of them. 39, as far as I know, I got 39 to watch out for. But we went down, got the kimchi into the prison cell, and I was relieved. That was over. So I rotated from that island. I came back to Osaka, Japan. And in Osaka, Japan, I got on board General C.C. Ballou ship. That's the name of it. It was a merchant marine vessel. Carried 5,000 of us soldiers back to the United States. It took 22 days to cross the Pacific in that boat. And to start with, we started out in a tailwind of a typhoon. And the first night on board, we had spaghetti. And this typhoon made the boat go like this. Like, this is the front. The front would go way up, then come down, and we'd come down sideways like that. No, it was this way. We go way up, and then like this. That's the way we were going. And there was spaghetti all over the place, if you know what I mean. I never got seasick once. I almost got seasick coming from Kojido Island to Osaka. But I tell you, I was on that ship so long, and I would stand out on the front of the boat and watch the water, and there would be a great big swell out in front, and then there'd be a real deep hollow spot, and then there'd be a swell, and I was just mesmerized by that. And I really loved riding on that ship. I was talking to the merchant mariners on it and asking, how do you get to be a merchant mariner? You know, I wanted to be one because I loved that, riding on that ship. Well, I'm missing one thing. At 10 o'clock, December 25th, we crossed the date line. Now, you know what that means. I spent two Christmases on the Pacific Ocean.
And then when he got home, he got a ride to Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I knew he was coming, but I didn't know when. So I got my hair up in curlers, and I wore my old pajamas to bed because I wanted to save my good nightgown for when my husband got home. And here comes this knock on the door in the middle of the night. And there's my husband. After a year. And he didn't even care that I had my hair up in curlers and my old pajamas on. It was great. Goodbye.
It was like leaving hell and coming into heaven. Yeah, that was great.